At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lore cast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect lore cast. I'm N7 the Legend.
And I'm Genesis. Join us
as we explore along tides of light
and through shoals of dust
to see where this lore began
and consider where it may go.
Spectres, welcome back to another episode of the Mass Effect Lorecast. I am your host, N7 the Legend, and joining me, as always now, is Genesis. Genesis, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good today. I took the day off from work, so it's been pretty chill.
Oh yeah. I just took a week off from work, and I gotta recommend it to everyone. As much as I hate the word staycation, and I hate that word, I feel like I've betrayed myself just saying it, but that is what I did. I didn't go anywhere. I had a couple of great friends visit me from out of town, spent a week off work, just had the extra time that I took into the new year, and it was a blast. Loved it. Great for my mental health. Went on an awesome hike and went and did some things that I wanted to do for a long time around the Seattle area, so that was great, but that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about our patrons, because this is the end of January 2025. We have survived 1 month into this new year, and we have a great topic that our patrons have decided on to talk about. Essentially, we are going to discuss which five of the Mass Effect companions you would want to be stranded with post Mass Effect 3. And I'm going to hand it over now to one of our patrons, Magister DeVita, who came up with this idea. And Magister, why don't you introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about, you know, how this came to mind.
Yes, Magister DeVita here. Always a pleasure being on the podcast. This idea came to mind. I was just thinking about Fallout. Recently got done playing a little bit of it, and I wondered, okay, what will be the mix of Fallout and Mass Effect? And dealing with the fact that at Mass Effect 3, you see Joker literally jumping through a bunch of different mass relays, and anything could happen at that point. Matter of fact, it does happen. They crash land and everything else. But what if during that time frame, people decide to launch out of the Normandy using some of the escape pods or escape ships, and you wind up on a random jungle-like planet, some ruins scattered about, a different intrigue potential, and it's you and five other crewmates / companions from the Mass Effect series, wondering which ones you would prefer having on the ship with you while you're landing in, while you're waiting for a rescue, survivor style. So
So there's a lot of things at play here. Not the least of them is going to be which ones would not annoy the hell out of you. And I cannot wait to hear what you guys have to say. But speaking of which, we also have our Tier 6 patron joining us. And that would be Commander Shrinky Shep, a.k.a. Chris. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here. Sorry I'm not camera ready for tonight, but if people really need to know what I look like, they can check out the last episode, and they'll have hours of that fun experience.
Yes, almost all 3 hours of your face and our faces. They can check that out on the Mass Effect Lorecast YouTube. But yeah, I'm really excited to kick this off and kind of throw it over to you guys. Now, Genesis, you had a twist to this idea that you brought up in the pre-show chat so that it can keep the ideas fresh. Why don't you tell us and the listeners a little bit about what you had in mind?
Yeah, playing it a little bit more elimination style. Since this was Magister's idea, I figured we'd let him go first. And then whoever he picks, that is his person. We can't also pick that same person. So make it a little bit more elimination style. Now I had to make my list a lot longer, just in case.
All right. I will try and do this on the fly. But as always, I will try and keep my answers for the very end. Why don't we go ahead and start this, though, with Magister. Magister, you came up with the idea. I think you probably already have 5 Mass Effect companions in mind that you would want to spend in this little interim period stranded with. Are they exclusive to Mass Effect 3, or who are you thinking here?
I'm thinking mainly... No, not exclusive Mass Effect 3. If Shepard could have communicated to them on that little projector at the, you know, right before you're going to attack the Reapers, or if you spoke to them in Mass Effect 3 or the Citadel DLC, they're fair game. That was my thought process.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so walk us through. Well, first, how about we do this first? Tell us all 5. And then we're going to walk through the rationale for each one of them. Is that okay? I see a skeptical look from Genesis.
I do. I thought we'd go one by one. So Magister would say his first name, and then Chris would get a chance to pick one person, especially since this is elimination. We don't want to give Magister all 5 best people
All right. Yes, you are correct. I misunderstood before. Yes. Why don't we go ahead and kick it off with your first one? So pick the one that you really do not want to be eliminated from your contention. You have first pick, Magister. You better not mess it up. No, I'm kidding.
I feel like if I do the best one, it'll get a lot of anger. So.
No. Anger is good. Good. Let the hate flow through you.
What? Okay. It'd be Dr. Chakwas.
Hell.
Gotta have a healer.
Fully agreed. A different reason, but...
Well, that too, but
the silver fox, Dr. Chakwas. Yeah, okay. So your reasoning was you have to have a healer, right? Tell me a little bit more along that line of thinking.
Dr. Chakwas has been through literally a whole gambit of experiences with the Normandy, not to mention she is more of a military-based doctor and physician. Having someone who can handle the rough and tumble experience as well as is adaptable, the fact that being on that planet, don't know what type of healing apparatuses or conventional vitamins or whatever else might be available there. I feel like she's probably had times where she has been stranded or has been in bare minimum situations. So I feel like if you want someone who's going to take care of you, make sure everyone gets through the experience, I feel like that having Dr. Chakwas on is the best idea.
And, you know, mentioning her as kind of that field medic is actually a really good point, because I read some trivia about her name, which was that her name is an anagram for hacksaw. Actually, I don't know if anagram is the right word. It's basically rearranged letters. of Hacksaw, which was an according to Drew Karpyshyn, if I remember right, was an allusion to kind of the old-timey field surgeons of like the Civil War era. So they were trying to get with that with Hacksaw. So that's a great point that you bring up, that this is the kind of person that you would want in a field situation, which is exactly what you've described. Okay, that's really exciting. Chris, who's your first person that you would want with you stranded on this jungle planet?
I got to say that's a strong pick. And, you know, I didn't even think of that, which means like my crew's probably dead because we're not even thinking about needing medical care. And that's coming from somebody with a medical background. So we might have trouble if we have any kind of medical event. That said, though, I was going to pick Liara, who is also a physician, well, a doctor. She's not actually a physician, but I think she probably has some medical background. I think she tries to patch up the either Kaden or Ashley after the Mars mission in Mass Effect 3. So she's got a little bit of medical training, but not nearly as good as Chakwas. But I remember from the prompt that you're on a planet with a lot of ruins. And so she's an archaeologist. So I think that's going to be really useful, especially if there's any kind of like Prothean or Reaper connection. She's going to like know what to do with that technology, whether it's just keeping you from setting off any booby traps, or if there's any way to utilize the technology to like make repairs or to salvage something that else that could be important. The other thing is that while generally speaking, I think in that kind of scenario, probably tech heavy squad mates is going to be really useful. She has shown some tech savviness. She's also a biotic. And so if you need to do like building or moving heavy stuff, I think she's going to be really useful for that. And at least in my canon playthrough, she's the love interest and probably want to stay with your love interest in that kind of survival situation.
Yeah, of course. You have to stay warm at night and other things like that. No, I thought Liara is a great pick, you know, romance interest aside, because like you mentioned, she has biotics, and I don't think it takes a large leap away from the hard sci-fi element of Mass Effect to consider that biotics could somehow help you filter water to make it more clean. I mean, it's all about mass manipulation, right? So one could argue that if you had extremely fine-tuned mass manipulation, you could take heavy metals out of water or something like that. But I'm still considering other applications of biotics with, you know, defending against who knows what kind of wildlife, making hermetic seals against different kinds of elements that you might not want. Genesis, it looks like you had something to say.
Well, yeah, that's part of the reason Liara was on my list as well, was just the level of resourcefulness that comes with that and the ability to move heavy objects. Everybody knows that one of the first things that you have to do in a survivor situation is build a shelter. And, you know, maybe in this case, when we crash landed on the planet, now our ship isn't a survivable habitat. We can use bits and pieces of it to create a new one, but Liara would literally be able to do all the heavy lifting with just her brain. And that's one of the big reasons that I put her on her, and the whole relic and ruin and that aspect of it. She's been an archaeologist. She knows how to survive in situations where, you know, I'm not on my nice cushy little ship. No, I'm out here roughing it.
I do have a thought though about survival social dynamics. How well do you think Liara would fare in that kind of situation? Like, I think we've all seen some kind of survival reality TV show by now, like Survivor, or, you know, even fictional ones, completely fictional ones like Lost or Alone is a favorite of mine. How well do you think that Liara would fare in a kind of you've been voted off the island situation?
I think Mass Effect 1, Liara is toast. I think, you know, post Shadow Broker DLC, she's got the dirt on everybody. And like, she knows all the secrets. She knows where the bodies are buried. She becomes a more ruthless kind of character. I mean, I would be worried that, you know, she might vote me off the island.
That is fair. That is fair to say. All right. I'm going to pass it over to you, Genesis. Who is your first pick, unless it's already been taken?
No, but I think I'm going to switch my lineup because now thinking about it, this is difficult, but I guess I'm going to go with my Boy Scout. He can cook, he can clean. He'll be the one to keep me warm at night. Beer? And he's got biotics. Beef? He's got beer, bacon. Yeah, I'm going with Caden.
Yeah, I'm shocked. Let me tell you, I am just shocked that you would pick Caden. Actually, I am kind of surprised that you'd pick Caden over Garrus, to be honest.
Oh,
why not Garrus?
Why not Zoidberg? Garrus is actually on my I'm sorry, but no way, buddy.
Okay, let's hear a little bit about that.
Hey, I love Garrus Vakarian. This is a well-known fact. But I can't supply his dextro food. I don't know what planet we landed on. I don't know what type of situation we're in. And I don't know if I'd be able to help gather off of this random planet the type of food that he needs. So I'd rather have him on the main Normandy where he has access to that.
Okay, what if all of the food on this planet is dextro?
Then I'm dead and it doesn't matter.
Fair. No matter what you do, Shepard is human, so... That makes sense.
But in this case, Magister put it that it was us. Oh. Shepard did the thing, and then it is us. It is me.
Gotcha. Yeah, well, you know, no matter what we do, as far as I know, we're all still human.
Fair enough point.
On the internet, no one knows you're a cat. On the internet, no one knows you're a Turian. So I guess no matter what we do, we're still human. But so that's a good point. Yeah, you wouldn't want to have to... like walk that boundary. Like, well, you know, if it's jungle planet, that does imply the existence of water, and if there's bodies of water, then perhaps there's fish, and fish are one of the foods that the dextro amino acid based creatures like Garrus, feels wrong calling him a creature, people like Alien. Garrus can eat. So, okay, so maybe he could come along anyway, but all right, that gets to me. My first pick, I'm going to go with a hot take right now. Legion. I want Legion. Because he is the ultimate security system. If anything, like, not only are his powers of observation probably far more advanced than any organic being than you could possibly take, meaning that he could instantly spot and analyze which plants are likely edible or not. He could instantly spot and analyze threats, be them from flora or fauna. He could also serve as constant watchdog for whatever camp you're setting up because he doesn't need to sleep.
Okay.
And he could instantly alert everyone and then, you know, like headshot whatever it was that's coming.
I had to do a little bit more research on my Geth lore because I don't know if they need to recharge their batteries. Like, do they need an actual sleeping pod or something for their physical form to enter into in order to replenish, to recharge?
I wish I knew the answer to that offhand. Usually I find these things with research, so I don't know. This is a good opportunity. If anyone's watching or listening to this and you want to leave a comment with the answer, you're screaming at your stereo, here's your chance. You can go ahead and answer that question. Do you know if Geth sleep? And if Geth sleep, what do they dream of?
Electric sheep.
I was just going to say electric sheep. All right. So that's my answer, Legion. But I am interested to know if anyone here considers Legion a bad choice. I feel like the only thing would be if Legion requires a power source, but that's like little different from humans eating. So, and also Legion wouldn't partake in the social dynamics that might split apart groups and threaten survival odds. So Legion literally doesn't care. Legion is just there to survive and help. So I'm going to stick with Legion. All right. Does anyone have any other comments about Legion?
Does he require Wi-Fi?
No. Only in the premium version.
I was going to say, I mean, the question is like, is Legion, well, Legion's probably dead, right? I mean, cause he probably sacrificed himself for the good of the Geth, before the end of Mass Effect 3, or, if you pick Destroy, there's a question about whether he's there or not, but assuming he's still there, it seems pretty solid. He seems relatively low maintenance, and having, at least one AI synthetic on your team, it's fewer mouths to feed.
Fair. I did say post Mass Effect 3, and if we are going to assume that the indoctrination theory is bullshit, then we can assume that Legion is dead. And in that event, I'll say Edie, who can also keep my bed warm. Sorry, Joker. Actually, she wouldn't keep it warm, would she?
No, that'd be very cold.
She'd keep it cold like cold steel. All right. Well, I don't know. I don't know. What does she have, liquid cooling? I mean, maybe she doesn't. Does she have fans?
No, but I bet you if you put the synth skin back on of Dr. Eva Corey, then it would be... that would have heat sensors in it and could probably mimic body temperature.
Yeah, it would have to, because she's an infiltration bot, Dr. Eva Corey. So it would have to, because if anyone ever brushed her skin, it was ice cold, it'd be a dead giveaway. No pun intended. Yeah, I'm not opposed to that for multiple reasons. Hey, yeah, as Day Zero in chat here says, hey, you, put your skin back on. I'm guessing Edie would do it if prompted, but that's another discussion. All right, Magister, I'm sorry if Edie was your next person, but you have the second pick of the Mass Effect Lorecast draft.
Totally was my next pick too, but
was it really?
Yeah, it really was. I was like,
okay. Well, if that's the case, because we I did switch, considering that Legion could be dead. So I do want to hear your reasoning for picking Edie.
Well, I'll pick someone else, but I say along the same reasons as you. I figured with her being a AI that was used by both Cerberus and the Alliance, she probably has a vast database of different things that could be quite useful in a survivor-based situation. But for a different option, my number two pick is going to be Zaid, because that man is a literal cockroach. So as long as we stick by him and try to follow along what he's doing, we're going to get through it. That man has been shot in the head. That man has been blown up. He's been left on planets. He literally has survived everything. So you kind of need that Swiss Army knife, like I said, a literal human cockroach, to help drag everyone else along for the ride.
That's
and he's
fair.
A good combatant.
That's fair. And I can imagine, sitting around the campfire at night and you're telling stories. You want someone who's got some kind of interesting stories. And Zaid might put up a fight at first, but I'm sure he's happy to tell some of his old war stories. Hey, how'd you get that scar? Kind of thing. And he's got a million of them. So I would love to hear that as told through Robin Sachs' excellent voice. RIP to Robin Sachs. All right. How does everyone feel about Zaid?
Zaid was on my backup list, so definitely was a top contender.
I mean, he's a survivalist.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a great hold the line score in case you get ambushed. But like for me, he's a you better sleep with one eye open kind of guy.
Fair. I would kind of question his morality. Like if the choice is between a perceived benefit of survival odds and my heartbeat continuing, I don't know if I would trust Zaid that much. Although if you've kind of served with him, quote unquote, through Mass Effect 2 and 3, I think it's fair to say you could probably trust him. All right. So Chris, who is your number two pick?
I'm changing this around because I'm recognizing the need for medical care. Plus, I think with the jungle kind of environment, I think Morden would be a good pick. The Salarians are used to, jungles, tropical environment. He's a doc who gives you that medical coverage. He's definitely a super quick thinker. Would be able to kind of MacGyver situations if you needed him to create some sort of technical breakthrough. You could potentially find new diseases and he could like develop cures for them like he did with the plague on Omega. He is a little bit squishy, so he's not going to be, on the front line in case like somebody tries to jump your camp in the middle of the night. And like Zaid, he's got great stories. He can sing. And so he's got great entertainment value. You better hope though that you're not stranded there too long. Cause I think he's probably getting pretty close to the end of his life expectancy since Salarians don't live that long.
True. He is around 40. So yeah, that's a great point. The other point that Magister brought up here in chat is Morden being alive is the worst timeline, though. So to use your own point against you, Chris, if Morden is alive, then that means that you have sabotaged the genophage cure because that's the only way Morden can survive past Mass Effect 3's ending. So,
yeah, you're right. You're right. He's always gone in my playthroughs. I'm not going to have him available.
On the bright side, and I don't mean to make anyone cry, if Morden is alive in some kind of utopic way, at least then on the jungle planet, we can conceivably say that he would have a chance to study the seashells. Because where there's a jungle, there's water. So Morden would be granted a chance to study the seashells. Easy for me to say. All right, now that I've made everyone sentimental, not the least of whom is Genesis. Genesis, who's your number two pick?
I don't know much about this character, so it would be interesting to get to know them, mainly because she's never been in any of my playthroughs, but I need that medical support. Dr. Michelle.
The real Dr. Chocolates. Okay, so now it makes more sense why you wouldn't bring Garrus. You wouldn't want to split apart the group like that.
Mm-mm. No, she can stay away from my man. Stay away from my Turian. But I don't know much about her other than the missions that we get in ME1 and then the brief conversation in 3, because Dr. Chocolates belongs on the Normandy. I've never picked Dr. Michelle to come on the ship. But in this scenario, okay, let's go. I need a doctor, and Dr. Chakwas was unavailable.
Fair. I actually have never recruited Dr. Chocolates. Like, I've always stuck with Chakwas. So I honestly don't know if there's, like, anything super special or redeeming about having her on the Normandy other than the fact that she's a skilled medical professional. So that's still a very viable choice. And I think you have to have like a medical professional or a doctor with you if you're stranded. Also, I just want to go back to like the fact that we have picked now all medical professionals that I know that are part of the Normandy crew at any point. We have Dr. Solis, we have Dr. Chocolates, and we have Dr. Chakwas.
And Dr. Tassoni.
And Dr. Tassoni, though, she has conceivably a PhD as opposed to an MD or a DO. Now I'm thinking about Dr. Tassoni as a DO, and that kind of makes sense. But, I mean, she's had the time. She's lived 100-some years. So, anyway, my number two pick, man, I got to say, and this is going to come as a surprise to absolutely nobody, is Ashley. I have to pick Ashley, and hear me out here, because she survived her entire squad being wiped out. She is a mastermind tactician. She is tough as nails. And who knows what the hell you're going to face while you're there. And she has a remarkable will to survive. And that's something that you would absolutely want in that kind of situation. And, of course, I romanced her. So we'll leave that one behind.
Ashley was on my backup list. I think she's definitely, she's got that survivor, because we saw that not only in the comics, but the fact that she fought off how many husks in ME1 on her own. Ashley definitely has that type of attitude. So yeah, no, I fully agree. Ashley's a good pick.
Yep. Not to put either one of our patrons here on the spot, but how do you guys feel about bringing Ashley along? Would you do it, or would you not do it? Or is she dead anyway in your playthrough?
Yeah, she's alive for mine. I mean, I think she's got like a strong survivor mentality, and it's really hard to keep her down. Plus, you know, she follows the chain of command, which I think is important, because as we, you know, saw from Jacob's loyalty mission, if a ship and a crew are stranded too long, you know, bad things start to happen. I think you have to start worrying about like societal breakdown. And you sort of talked about that with like being voted off the island and whatnot. But I feel like Ashley would never kind of question, you know, the need to follow orders and to maintain some sort of decorum in a difficult situation.
True. You would want some level of hierarchy, some kind of organizational flow, even if you have just five people, and or six people, I guess, five including ourselves, or not including ourselves. You'd want some kind of flow like that so that you can accomplish tasks, keep yourselves alive, that kind of thing. She has proven that despite her Mass Effect 1 comments about, you know, sounding xenophobic, that she actually is a team player and that she can overcome those things. So I will act as her advocate in that sense. But all right, let's move on to pick number three. And I'm going to pass it over to Magister, and we'll hear from Chris after that. But then we're going to go to the mid-break. So Magister, who's your third pick for who you're bringing along to be stranded on this jungle planet?
Apologize, Genesis. I might be stealing one of yours, but I want to go with my homeboy Grunt. Gotta have a Krogan. Gotta have a Krogan on the trip with us. At the end of the day, same thing with Zaid, with him being a literal cockroach. Having a Krogan on tap is literally one of the most important things to go. If you come across something like horrendously big or really hard to kill, you want to have that one that has that redundant system to go full tilt on it.
Brent was up next on my list, so yes, very much so, but well done.
Not anymore. Genesis is scrambling to find a new pick. Yeah, I love Grunt for that same reason. You want a big beefy boy to be on your crew, at least, so that you can handle any kind of natural threat that the environment presents you, even if that is dehydration. With redundant organ systems, you're going to be better off prepared. And maybe, you know, you get dehydrated, you need someone to venture a little bit further from your base camp to try and find supplies. Maybe that's Grunt. So I love that. Love that answer. All right, Chris.
Gotta have a turtle buddy.
Battle turtle buddies, even in without battle, are still beneficial. Came up with that on the fly. Chris, who is your number three pick?
So yeah, number three, I'm gonna go deep on the bench, but I think she'll be really useful since it doesn't have to be a squad mate. I'm gonna pick a Trainer. Samantha, I think Samantha Trainer, like the mission specialist, because she also seems very technologically savvy. She seems to really know the Normandy well. I think that she, you know, your main mission is going to be trying to get off the world, and, you know, get back to civilization, you know, after you initially just survived the first days or weeks. And I think she's going to be able to, you know, help Joker and help the other, you know, technologically minded people try to put the ship back together. And we know she's got a great toothbrush, and so like dental hygiene will be, you know, pretty good when she's around. And she's also part of the military chain of command. So like with, just like with Ashley, like she's going to follow orders. She seems like a very easy to get along with kind of person. I think she's going to psychologically, you know, blend well with whatever group you have.
It's another good point. Who knows all the different applications that her toothbrush could have? We don't know. The toothbrush could help save the day once again, depending on easy writing. But all right. Before we get too much into that, why don't we go ahead and go over to our mid break.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We have beef, we have bacon, we have beer. The foods of my people.
Young men have funny ideas of what Asari are like. I blame the extranet and computer games.
Rex?
Shepherd.
Grunt?
Shepherd.
Rex? Grunt?
All right, and here we are in the middle of the show. We don't have any new reviews to read out for you today, but we do have some new patrons, and Genesis, do you want to go ahead and shout out those new patrons for us?
Yeah, we have new patrons. Welcome to Alley Cat and Dwight. Thank you so much for joining in, and Alley Cat, I hope that next month we are able to catch you on the Patreon chat. Welcome in, N7 Operative.
All right, and speaking of our other patrons, those Tier 5 patrons do get a shout-out every month. I'm talking about you, Ed Boy, Kira C, Lieutenant Tucino, Red Trobot, Superfly 440, and William. So thank you all so much for the continued support. And, of course, we do have another patron here with us, the Tier 6. That's Commander Shrinky Shep. Chris, thank you so much for your support as well. And thank you for talking with us today again about, we got some survivalist talk with the crew of the Normandy and beyond. And that is a reminder for everybody else. As of the date that we are recording this, this is January 27th. We've got 4 more days in the month of January, and for those 4 days, we are celebrating that new year, new Emmy Lorecast. So if you sign up on Patreon, at least until the end of January, you will get 50% off your first month. I just checked before this episode, and our system that we have will bill you on the day that you've signed up, that date of the month. So you can still squeeze in to get 50% off your first month if you do it within the month of January. If you're listening to this after the fact, I'm sorry, but we do try and get out that information as fast as humanly possible, or maybe Turianly possible, perhaps Drell possible, any Solarian possible.
Solarian.
That's what we aim for. Definitely not Elcor possible. That's not very possible. Anyway, let's go ahead and get back to the show.
After time adrift among open stars, along tides of light and through shoals of dust, I will return to where I began.
Solarian reproduction different. Very little sex drive. If intended to try human, would try you.
Ow, my pancreas.
Okay, and I still am tickled by that mid-break, just as Joker appears to be. So now we're going to go ahead. I don't like the implication, as Dennis would say from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I don't like the implication there, but I continue with it because it's disturbing. And speaking of being disturbed, Genesis looked highly disturbed when I played that mid-break sound effect. Genesis, who's your third pick of this crew that you want to bring with you to this jungle planet to be stranded with?
I want the psychotic biotic. Jack, you are coming with me. The level of survivability in that woman, of being put in any type of situation and being able to persevere through it. Yeah. Hayden, his power is fine-tuned and very honed. Like, that's where his, like, I can manipulate small things very, very well. And that he's talked about that in some of his dialogue. With Jack, it is all about raw power, being able to manipulate large things for a quick burst of time. I mean, she can be the one that can hold the shield in the suicide run in ME2. So she can hold large force fields in those short burst periods. So I want that balance of biotic ability of somebody like Caden, who can very powerful, strong force fields, or short burst, big power. And I think Jack would also have some great stories to share. I'm down to talk about a prison riot. Let's go. I think it'd be very, very interesting. So yeah, I'm bringing Jack for raw power and survivor.
And grit. Just absolute grit. Because you talk about survival mechanics and survival, the will to just persevere and say fuck you to the odds. That's definitely Jack. I mean, that's a great option in my opinion, and also for all of the biotic reasons that we mentioned. That Jack is the most skilled biotic we may meet throughout the entire trilogy. Jack would be an excellent, excellent option. And for those of you who romance Jack, you're probably all about that too. Anyway.
Yeah.
Magister, how do you feel about bringing Jack along?
I think it's a great option, especially Jack post Mass Effect 3. That's a Jack who has more settled down, who is a lot more, I would have to imagine, patient, because literally teaching teenagers how to use biotics, I could only imagine the stress test that she's had to experience during that whole time frame. So, and as stated, she is a very powerful biotic. So probably going to be very convenient when it comes to building shelter and moving out foliage and all that other fun stuff as well.
She has had to be self-reliant for so long. So you can imagine that she would be incredibly resourceful as well. Chris, how do you feel about bringing Jack along?
I feel the same way. I mean, she has a lot of personal growth, you know, through 2 and especially 3, where she has, you know, some leadership potential. She has that biotic ability that you mentioned. I think, you know, early Mass Effect 2, Jack is a very different story. I don't think you would end up picking her in that kind of scenario, but because she's developed so well, I think she could really supplement any team well.
Yeah, absolutely. Agreed. All right, so my third pick is actually going to be someone I don't bring along that much in the games, which is James Vega. I think bringing James along would be an excellent choice because clearly the Alliance military sees enough in him about perseverance and resilience that they invited him to be part of the N7 program. I think that says it all. For those of us who know what the N7 program is all about, it's all about resilience and perseverance in the most impossible of survival odds. This is someone I absolutely want to bring with me, and that's notwithstanding all of the events of Mass Effect Paragon Lost. If you've seen Paragon Lost, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, then I can summarize it by saying that James's entire squad is like totally thrown off, abducted, or killed by collectors when they are on Fel Prime. He acts with the independence and the grit that you would expect of a natural-born leader. And if you've never seen Paragon Lost, I highly encourage you to go see that because it gives you a whole new respect for James. And so, and it is a veritable kind of survival situation that he's in where he mounts this resistance against impossible odds. So James is definitely my pick. I want James on my squad, even if he is flirting with my girl Ashley a little bit much. He can cool his tits there. But
away from the tequila, they'll be fine.
Yeah. Genesis, how do you feel about bringing James along?
I like the idea of having Vega. He's also strong boy. You need one of those on your side, for the sheer raw strength of it. He's also his demeanor is laid back. And he's going to be the type to get along with everybody, so isn't going to be a disruptor from the morale standpoint. I think that Vega would bring cohesion, but would also stay within the chain of command from the military aspect of it. So yeah, Vega's a good pick.
Yeah. I cannot see him kind of subverting or disrespecting any kind of command in the military aspect for sure, which would, I believe, make Ashley his superior in this kind of situation. So we all know how he treats commanders. I might have to keep an extra eye on him with the flirt dialogue.
If Ashley's there, they are now a Spectre, so definitely outranks Vega.
Well, technically, Vega doesn't have to respect the rank of Spectre at all. Vega would only have to respect her as a lieutenant commander.
Okay.
That was and that's because James and this is kind of this is where it gets into like the weird messiness of whatever the Systems Alliance rank structure is. James is a lieutenant. Whereas Ashley, I believe, is Lieutenant Commander by the end of Mass Effect 3, when we're talking about Systems Alliance ranking. She's also a Spectre, technically to be respected, but also technically outside of the Alliance rank structure, so would have little bearing on that. But I'm just being really, you know, actually, that's just me right now.
What we do, buddy.
That is literally what we do every week. Magister, what do you think about bringing James along?
I think it's a great option. He was actually one of my considerations option picks because I know that if you have Vega around and you actually listen to him and follow along with him, you're going to be the healthiest you've ever been after you leave that island. Like, you're going to leave that island swole and fit. Like, you're going to be ready to go. Plus, good cook. Cool guy to have around. He's also really good with jokes. He's very, very, he's going to be someone that's going to keep morale. So yeah. You need that person there.
Yeah, I can see him coming back with a bunch of, like, exotic alien bird eggs and making, quote-unquote, huevos rancheros. So we'll see how that turns out. Could give everyone dysentery, but who knows. Chris, how do you feel about bringing James along?
Yeah, I like the point about the cooking. I was going to make that point too. And I think, you know, he's good for morale for all the reasons you mentioned, but he's also a great storyteller. You know, there's a good scene or two when he's chatting it up with Gareth and they're, you know, telling these, you know, increasingly tall tales some real, but just starting to get more and more absurd. And you can imagine being around a campfire and it being great entertainment value. I don't know for sure that I would take him just because his tech skills are somewhat lacking, but maybe he makes up for it with a can-do spirit. There's a good scene where if you bring him, I think on Rannick, and you try to have him do some of the more in-depth work that requires tech skill, he doesn't really know what he's doing, but then he just kicks the machine and then that somehow solves the problem.
That's amazing, and I'm adding it to the list of things that I need to do in-game.
That's hilarious. I had heard about that before. For some reason, I thought that was on Monet, the Turian homeworld moon. But maybe that was on Rannick instead.
Yeah. On the moon, he says, like, it's going to take me a while. But he does it. It'd be interesting if anyone knew, like, does it actually make you fight husks longer if you have him do the repair versus, I think, Liara is your choice, the other person. I don't know if it takes them any longer to do it.
That would be funny, yeah, if someone's timed it out. Who knows? But, all right, let's go to pick number four. You're almost to the end of your list. Magister, who are you picking for your fourth person to go with you to this stranded jungle planet?
Well, speaking of leadership, need somebody on the crew to help get everyone together. Because Lord knows, like, I would like to think that I can throw some leadership chops up there. But at the end of the day, we're dealing with some major personalities. So I figure if we're going to go with leadership and also having someone who has biotic capabilities to help in that way as well, I'm going to go with Miranda Lawson to bring into the crew. I was thinking Samara at one point, but I was really like, you never know what you could do that would have her kill you. So better to have, like, Miranda might do that too, but at least I know I'm not going to, like, trip on a code somewhere and be like, oh, there I go. Miranda would have both leadership capabilities, the ability to logistics. She does very well as well. And having bios capabilities may not be as strong as like Samara or Jack, but still pretty up there as far as biotic capabilities.
There we go. And if we bring Miranda along as well, then we can also be like, there you go, James. If you need to get your flirty outlet there, just make a couple comments and you'll learn very quickly not to make those comments with Miranda. I can see that going very poorly for James. Chris, how do you feel about bringing Miranda along?
I mean, that was going to be my pick. So you scoop me. I think she has a lot of positive attributes for making it work. Plus, you know, who knows, maybe you die again and then she remembers enough from the Lazarus Project and she can resurrect you again.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, maybe she can pull it off with just the resources she could find in the jungle. I mean, talk about a MacGyver that way. Yeah. All right. Genesis, how do you feel about bringing Miranda along? Or do you feel like she would not work with cohesion as a group that well? I mean, because I feel like there kind of might be an argument to make there because she is a little bit commandeering. But if Shepard's not there...
So I had Miranda on my backup list, but I do think that she's valued and she could definitely help out in a lot of different scenarios and situations. And I feel like with her attitude, it is very managerial. And so I think that she would make the cohesion happen. Even if she's not the one that is becoming your bestie, she's the one making sure that everybody else is getting along.
Yeah, I feel that. I personally, I would not bring Miranda along because I'm already bringing Ashley, and God knows how that would end. Probably not well. But I can certainly see the appeal of bringing Miranda because she has that kind of squad tactics mindset, because she is a leader in that regard, and she is kind of like a no-nonsense, down-to-business person. That I can see manipulating and maneuvering a way out of that survival situation. All right. Number four for Chris.
I thought about picking the Justicar, but I think the risk of doing something that upsets her is probably too high. I'm a little surprised no one's picked Tali yet. Maybe I just hallucinated no one did, but she's a great tech expert. She knows the Normandy, like both versions, super well. She knows how to make any kind of repairs that you might think you'd need. The food situation could be a real problem, but I also get the sense that, you know, if she's able to stay on the Normandy, same thing with Garrus, you know, they have the right, you know, enantiomer of the food that they need in order to survive. It never is an issue during any of the games. So I kind of wonder if that technology is kind of taken care of, kind of like how Star Trek has the replicators. I wonder if they're able to do something similar in the Mass Effect universe. But she's also, you know, good from a group cohesion standpoint. You can send her in the vents and she forgives you if you did that in the suicide mission. And it also demonstrates that she's very clever and can come up with stuff. And, you know, since I've already got, you know, Morden on the team, it's hard to think of any situation where you couldn't take Morden and Tali and have them together come up with a really good solution.
Yeah, true. Their engineering knowledge between them is just like on point. So you would definitely want a skilled engineer with you in some kind of survival situation. However, Magister and Alduin here in chat both bring up great points about her vulnerabilities. Magister, can you fill us in on what you're thinking of?
Well, the fact that she has a compromised immune system, as do all Quarians, so it's both a dextroamino issue, as well as if that suit gets slit at all or any number of damage. Yes, they have that little section off thing, but you never know how long you're going to be on that planet, so it's you're playing a gambit with having Tali on the squad.
True, yeah. Any puncture to her suit, and although portions can be hermetically sealed, if there's infection there, you don't want that because you would have to ultimately amputate it after a while. There is certainly a drawback, I think, to bringing Tali. However, like I said, you do have that incredible boon to the entire group of her being a skilled, resourceful engineer. Genesis, what do you think about bringing Tali along?
So Tali was on my no-go list, and that's mainly because there's the inherent risk of her getting, you know, sick, hurt, or just being unable to fully function in a jungle type setting. Because even when she's in spaceships or along those things, the air is different. You go to a jungle planet, and that could be introducing a whole host of new biotoxins or, you know, a whole bunch of different things that her body just cannot process and handle. Now, she does say quite often, you know, it's just the one time that she gets sick and she says, oh, it's a cold and I took the antibiotics that I need and it'll be good in a few days. If now she's stranded on a desert or on a planet, she's not going to have access to the medicine that she needs to be frequently taking. And so that to me is just too much of a risk factor.
That's fair. That's more than fair. And since we're already talking about this, Genesis, who's your number four pick?
My number four pick is Rex, because I need my Krogan. Magister took Grunt, so I'll go with Grandpa.
All right. That's fair. Yeah, Rex could not just be that strong boy, but also have the good campfire energy going for him. And I can see him caring about cohesion in a survival situation, headbutting anybody who might get out of line in terms of like, hey, remember, we're trying to get out of here. So, yeah, that's an excellent suggestion. In the interest of time, I'm just going to go ahead and go forward with my fourth pick. I was going to pick Tally because of her engineering prowess. However, I have to pick someone else. So I am going to go with Engineer Adams, who I believe is the only other engineer that you can get because I've already brought Legion. So I'm big on the brain power, basically, with my crew. And I want to bring along Engineer Adams, who might be able to MacGyver a way for us to get clean water, for us to get clean food, or set up traps, perhaps. And I feel like the brain power is why humanity has evolved to where we are, more than the brawn. So that's why I'm going with that. I know this is a hot take, so how does everyone feel about Engineer Adams? Genesis, you feel pretty strongly. You're shaking your heads. What do you think?
Not a hot take at all. Adams was my number five. Like, he was my core list. He wasn't even a substitute.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. So I stole your number five. All right. Good. Good. Magister, how do you feel about Engineer Adams coming along?
I think it's a great pick. He was buddies with Tally, so he's right there on that near level of engineering capabilities. So I think it's a pretty good one.
And Chris?
Yeah, I mean, seems solid. I think he's got a lot of the advantages. You know, he also has, we assume, a functional immune system.
True. He has a functional immune system, and he doesn't seem like he's going to rock the boat too much about, you know, group cohesion, that kind of deal. Magister, seal the deal for us. Give us your fifth pick, your fifth and final pick as to who you're bringing along.
Well, you weren't quite right. There is still another engineer that I can pick, and it was my next one up. I'm going to go with Kenneth Donnelly.
Not Mr. Daddy Bags. All right. Explain for me why you're bringing along Daddy Bags.
Well, because I have like everything else. I need a tech person. I need someone who's going to be able to either help rebuild a ship or help build a distress beacon or help build any number of things that we can, that we'll need along the way. Plus, he's funny. He's got that dad humor, that obliviousness. I feel bad from taking him away from his potential spouse by that point, I believe. So, but at the same time, gotta have someone who's more on the tech side of things, and he's more of an engineer. He's not a combat engineer, which can be a bit of a problem, but he's someone who's probably going to have a lot more grounding and knowledge in the basics and applied sciences.
Okay, yeah, that's a great choice in that regard, making that distinction between combat engineer, which often blows shit up, and civilian or technical engineer is more about building and solving problems that don't involve bridges or explosives. So, Chris, how do you feel about bringing along Donnelly?
I mean, you know, he'll play cards with you. You can win some money off him, assuming money's still worth anything at that point. He's a nice guy. He also, you know, has your back. You know, he joined up even when, you know, he knew he had to join Cerberus. But he was all in for the cause of trying to help. And, you know, he kind of owes you too, if you get him released from jail or get him the pardon or whatnot to get him back on the ship in 3.
That is a great point. He does kind of owe you. So, all right. Speaking of that, Chris, who is your fifth person, and is this more brain or brawn for who you're picking?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to stick with brain because I mean, the truth is pretty much everybody can fight other than, you know, trainer, you know, at least among my picks, but any squad mate's going to probably be able to fight pretty well. I would pick Kasumi, and she also has the tech power. She's super sneaky, so if you need to get in and out of the ruins to get whatever tech might be there, if the supplies, if it's unclear whether the planet's really inhabited or not, but regardless, even if you've got like five Krogan on your team, if it's an inhabited world, five Krogan aren't going to be able to take out an entire planet. So I think stealth is likely to be critical if there's any kind of threat on the planet. She's also somebody you can put into the vent in the suicide mission. So she can handle the temp, she can handle pressure, she gets the job done well. And I just thought of this. I can't say I consciously picked this, but I think, no big eaters on the team that I picked. And so if you have a scarcity of resources, you probably don't have to feed them as much as you would if you have, Rex or Grunt. Like, they might go through all the supplies that you have left.
That's fair. I can only imagine the amount of calories it takes to maintain a redundant organ system. Genesis, who is your last pick?
I am going to go with Gabby. Magister took Ken, so I will take my girl Gabby. I need an engineer.
It is a good thing that the Normandy has so many engineers.
She's funny. She can stick up for herself. I know that she can also handle a gun and.
All right.
Work on mission systems, whatever's necessary.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, I am so hard pressed for who I might pick to be my fifth. And I just don't. Can I pick Anderson? Because Anderson definitely dies at the end of Mass Effect 3. So he's not available. You know what? I'm going to pick Hackett. Hackett has seen some crap, man. And I feel like he would be the old man sage wisdom you need to get through that kind of survival situation. Because God only knows all the different kinds of situations he's been in and lived to tell the tale. We used to, as a species, universally respect gray hair because of that. And now we've moved a little bit away from that. Maybe we should get a little bit closer toward that. That's my two cents about Hackett, though. And Genesis showing off a couple of gray strands of hair in your own head.
They're growing in nice and pretty.
Yeah. Yeah. So Hackett is mine. I just realized I've got all humans except for Legion. So I guess we'd have similar needs except for Legion, who can stay up all night and defend us from whatever. All right, and we've got some input here from one of our patrons, Red Trobot, who has submitted in his comments as to who he thinks will be among the best people to take on this crew we've been talking about. And we wish Red Trobot could be here with us, but instead, let's just hear directly from him who his crew is.
Hey guys, sorry I couldn't make it to the patron chat tonight, a little busy with work. I had to choose five companions to be stranded on a deserted planet or whatever. I'd choose probably Garrus, Rex, Jack, Edie, and Morden, probably, just because they have a... They're my favorite characters. I say they probably have a wide span of skills for surviving whatever planet we may land on.
Yeah, so you picked some great picks. We definitely had a lot of discussions about these characters tonight. Jack was on my list. Rex was on my list. So we got a lot in common there. Even though I love Garrus, I wouldn't want him on a deserted island because I don't know if I could get him the proper food he needed. But yeah, no, those are great picks, Retro, and we are sad that you couldn't make it this month, but we hope to see you back next month. Thanks.
All right, dude. Rex, Jack, Edie, and Morden, that's an absolute A-team. As you'll hear when you listen back to this Retrobot, those members have absolutely some of the best skills that you could possibly bring to something like this. Absolutely, fully agreed. I think maybe Retrobot of anybody's crew is going to be the one who makes it out of this alive. So, all right, this has been a really fun topic. So thank you, Magister, for bringing it up. Thank you, Chris, for also joining us to discuss this again. Genesis, any final thoughts?
I think we all established really good squads. These are tight teams that I would love to take any of them out and explore a new planet together.
Yeah, as much as I would not want to be stranded at all, I would feel pretty confident with the group that I've assembled as well. So, all right, so we're going to go around the horn here. I'm going to toss it over to Magister first. Magister, what do you got going on? How can people get a hold of you?
Nothing too much right now. Magister Divina on the both Patreon as well as on the Discord. Nothing much really going on at this current moment in time, but looking forward to the new games that are coming out these next couple of months. Currently playing on that Ninja Gaiden Black remaster.
Getting ready for Assassin's Creed Shadows, are you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Get my ninja on.
I'll be playing that as well. Chris, what do you got going on? How can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, I do periodically check the Discord. Happy to see how much people like the indoctrination theory episode that we put together. So if people want to talk about that or other Mass Effect stuff, I'm happy to chat with them there.
Yeah, absolutely. I've already heard a lot of good feedback from the community on the indoctrination theory episode. That's up on all of our podcast platforms and YouTube. If you want to go check that out, you can find it there. Indoctrination theory. Genesis, what do you got going on? I know you do a couple of other shows on the same network. How can people get a hold of you or watch those?
Yeah, so I'm on the Robots Radio Discord as well. Genesis, J-E-N-N-S-I-S. It's Genesis with a J. And you can find me on the Two Girls, One Ship podcast, where we analyze video game romances, or the Cyberpunk Lorecast, where we talk everything cyberpunk. And we're getting a lot of new release information right now, gearing up for the next book coming out. So I'm super excited about what's going on over there.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I am still streaming every Sunday. I've recently set up my new PC, which is an absolute monster, and it can handle me streaming Cyberpunk finally. So I am streaming a fresh new playthrough of Cyberpunk, my first one after the 2.0 update. And I am excited to eventually get to Phantom Liberty. I'll be streaming that on Sundays. I'm now streaming on Sundays around 6 p.m. Pacific. That's 9 p.m. Eastern. If you want to go and catch my streams, you can follow me at N7Legend on Twitch. Same handle on Blue Sky. Pretty much any social media platform that I have, it's going to be that handle. And reminder to everybody, we have a new Mass Effect Lorecast Twitch account. So go give it a follow. And follow us on YouTube. Subscribe to us there as well. Next week, when we get back to the lore episodes, we're going to be talking a little bit more about Rex, because we got Rex in Mass Effect 3 to talk about, and that is going to be a doozy. We're going to be talking about the Genophage. We're going to be talking about the culmination of Rex's leadership arc there. But to our patrons, thank you so much for the continued support of this show. To Genesis, thanks for another great week on the show. And to the rest of you, I guess, you know, stay frosty, Spectres, and we'll catch you next week, okay? Thanks for listening to the Mass Effect Lorecast. Reach out to us on Blue Sky, Twitter, Discord, Patreon, or email us at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
Join us next week for more lore. Same space, same time. Or check out our live streams at twitch.tv/masseffectlorecast.